Hello everyone and welcome to the month in review for September, which is good to see the back of. It was quite a challenging month for most investors. In the coming minutes, we'll do four things. We'll take a look at how the Aussie market performed. Secondly, what the drivers were. Thirdly, how we compare to other markets around the world. And finally, what the best and worst performing sectors and stocks were on the Australian share market as well. So let's kick off. The ASX 200 fell by 7.3% in September, our second worst month of the year so far. Now, we had losses that were quite consistent the whole month as well. In fact, late in the month, in the final few days, we got very close to hitting a near two-year low. We remained just above that key level, which was last hit in June of 6,407 for the ASX 200. But that is going to remain an additional test for markets in the weeks and months ahead. If we do fall below that, you know, relatively sustained period, that could potentially be a catalyst for more selling. So that's an important level to watch. Now, over the quarter, we didn't do as badly. We only fell 1.5% between July and September. But keep in mind that over the prior 3 months, in that June quarter, our market fell by 12.5%. So we still are down about 13% this year. And if absolutely nothing changes in the next 3 months, this will still be our worst year since 2011. Now, as far as the drivers are concerned, nothing really changed here. We've got stubbornly high inflation that is leading to rate hike after rate hike. The US dollar is at elevated levels, which can be a negative for growth. And one of the concerns is that if rates rise enough and central banks don't slow down, that could potentially create quite a significant economic slowdown in the year ahead. So the idea here is that if rates rise a lot, that means borrowing costs are lifting for businesses, but also consumers that have mortgages are spending more on their home loans and have less left over for everything else. So that, of course, could be a negative for company profits moving forward. How do we compare to other markets around the world? Well, we're somewhere in the middle. The US market was down 9.5%. Some of major Asian markets did even worse. So stocks in Hong Kong were down almost 14%. Shares in South Korea were down close to 13%. And we had shares in Taiwan dropping back about 11%. And while there are plenty of concerns about the situation on the inflation front in Europe, the Stock 600, which is a broad look at how they're doing over there, fell by 6.5%. So look, all 11 sectors of our market, though, fell heavily in September. All actually fell by at least 5%, which we don't say very often. Now, the best of the worst performers, so the smallest losers, were actually defensive areas of our market. Consumer staples, which include supermarket chains, and also healthcare. So the idea and the theory here is that these companies can be a bit more resilient in the situation where there's an economic downturn. Now, the worst performers were those interest rate sensitive stocks, the utilities, which fell about 15%, real estate stocks, which were down 14%, and tech, which were down approximately 11%. Now, the worst performing stocks, well, the absolute worst was Link, the share reg on the ASX 200. It lost a third of its value in 1 month. It fell 33%. It only had four days of gains over the whole month. Now, most of the fall seemed to be linked to complications with the acquisition by a Canadian company called Dye & Durham that's had $2.5 billion on the table for the group. But there's been pushback from the UK regulator, which is complicating things. The second, third, and fourth worst performers were all companies that are not profitable yet. And it can be quite difficult in this environment to actually be a company that's not making any money and to see the share prices lift. So the second worst was Imugene, which fell 30%. This is a company developing cancer drugs. It actually released some mixed early stage trial results, but it's raising another $80 million from investors at a discounted price to basically help fund future trials. The third worst was Novonix, which fell 27%. This is a group that's developing technology for electric vehicles. And the fourth worst was Telix Pharmaceuticals, which fell by 23%. Now, most of the losses here came late in the month after encountering pushback for a Danish regulator for a prostate cancer treatment it's working on. Now, the winners, well, there were a few. Some of the best performers were actually coal miners. New Hope Coal was the best. It rose by 28% over the month. Now, it handed down some results. It's seen its profits over the year rise 12-fold. Its dividend has increased significantly as well. And this largely is off the back of surging coal prices and the war in Ukraine. So this has also helped the third best performer, which was Whitehaven Coal. It rose by 13%. Now, not lifting as much as New Hope, but it does come off the back of actually back-to-back gains of close to 30% in July and also in August. The second best was Pilbara Minerals. This is a lithium producer that rose 25%. It's just recently become profitable. And the fourth best was actually a global software company called Megaport, which had a very messy month, but it managed to still lift by about 7.5%. On that note, everyone, it's good to see the back of September. Let's hope October is a little bit better for everyone.